interpretation that Representative Hooley brought to Subcommittee 3, including the issues of who would qualify and when a person could petition the court in regard to custody, guardianship, and visitation matters. I'm just trying to find the people that we're talking about are foster parent, step parent, grandparent, relative by blood or marriage, or any other person who has emotional ties to the child and has had physical custody. These are the people that we're talking to. This bill was intended to give the court an outline of when those people have the right to come into court and petition for rights of custody, guardianship, or visitation. The second part of this bill deals with grandparents' right of visitation. Let me see if I can find it. It would allow a grandparent to petition, and if you look at page 3 of the dash 7 amendments at the bottom of the page, 24 on for reasonable visitation rights, if the grandparent has established or attempted to establish ongoing personal contact with the child and the custodian of the child has denied the grandparent a reasonable opportunity to visit with the child, that's when a grandparent would be able to get into court. And that would be the minimum that they would have to show in order to have a case where the court could then proceed to hear the evidence and decide visitation based on the best interest of the child. So the bill deals with, in two parts, with rights of people other than the parent or direct custody or direct physical custodian of the child on visitation, custody, and guardianship matters.
Okay, the amendments were adopted in subcommittee.
Mr. Chair, I think that is correct. Yes.
Okay. We have a motion on the bill.
I will move 3197 to the floor with a due pass.
Okay. Representative Hanlon moves
as amended.
Representative Hanlon moves House Bill 3197 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I want to review it. I do have an amendment that I'm going to propose. Before I get to that now, the step-grandparent has been removed. Is that correct? There's been enough amendments to this. I'd like to just review a couple of these things with staff on the dash 7 amendments. The step-grandparents have been removed.
Well, no. Let me, if I may respond, Councilor.
Oh, it does
page
not
six,
include.
Page 6, line 21, Bill.
Yes, I see that.
They have not been removed. However, they are not included in the first place as a result of that.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
My amendment will deal with lines 27 and 28 and lines 1 and 2 on page 3 and 4. It's the very bottom of page 3 and the very top of page 4. In subcommittee, I indicated to the chair that I would probably be moving to amend the bill. It is my intention to move to amend the bill by striking out the A, which is the grandparent has established or has attempted to establish ongoing personal contact with the child. I think that I have been reluctant to endorse this concept, but I guess I have to leave the judgment up to the court. If the court, in my opinion, will determine that this has been done. There are some cases where the grandparent is not going to be able to maintain this and still would like to be ongoing personal contact, but would like to. And I just believe I've decided in my own mind that we ought to leave that up to the court.
Okay, so Representative Bellamy, you want to delete lines 27, 28 on page 3 of the amendments?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Hanlon, I understand this was considered in subcommittee and rejected at that time. And you were advised that...
I never moved it in the subcommittee.
I think, Mr. Chairman.
Indicated I would in full committee, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, it was obvious in subcommittee from the discussion that there were not enough votes at that point to pass it. And Representative Bellamy is correct. He did not move it in sub, but he did indicate that he would attempt to place a motion at full committee to me.
Okay. Yeah, let's take a couple of questions. Representative Bellamy has moved deletion of lines 27 and 28 on page 3 of the amendments. Representative Dix.
Well, we talked about this in subcommittee, so this isn't new for Representative Bellamy. My concern is any time we leave leeway to the bench on any question at all, you end up having different jurisdictions interpreting what we do here in different ways. And I'm not sure that where we can write language that is, and in some instances, I'm not sure this goes far enough, but where we can write language that is precise in what we intend for the bench to do, we should do so instead of walking away and suggesting that one area of the state or a sitting bench or a sitting judge interprets it one way and another judge in Portland interprets it another. Hence, you really have two sets of Oregon law because the bench is interpreted in two different ways. And we've already had at least one measure that recently failed on the floor where we found out that, in fact, some judges treat the law differently in different places and think the law means different things because it isn't precise enough. The amendment that was offered in committee attempted to cover the area which Representative Bellamy addressed and was of concern to the subcommittee. That was the area where a grandparent, perhaps due to the parents, could not keep that ongoing contact. So we wrote the language in, has attempted to keep in touch with the grandkids. And there are, and we did hear testimony where parents have kept the grandparents from talking with the grandchildren. And but if they've attempted to do so, this will allow the bench to interpret whether or not that intention was real and make the decision. So there is some, what's been referred to as wiggle room for the judge with the amendments that we've adopted. And I think it covers those areas where a set of parents have rejected the attempts of the grandparents to keep in touch with the grandkids.
Representative Burton.
Well, I want to get a better sense of, I guess, what the amendment would do. And if I understand, A and B under that section essentially establishes a standard by which the court would allow that to come before it, this matter to come before it. We really remove the standards if we remove the amendments. So there are no, there would be no standards essentially by which the court would have to measure.
It would still be the standard that the custodian, the child, would provide the grandparent reasonable opportunity to visit the child. Found in page 4.
So you are essentially removing the one standard and leaving just the other.
Right. You need to look at both of them because there is an and in the present provision.
Ah.
Okay, was there further discussion or questions? Representative Burton.
I guess I'd like to ask Representative Bellamy, if I could, why he objects to lines 27 and 28.
When this language was proposed to several individuals that were very interested in this bill, they indicated that what happens to the case where you never had an opportunity to establish an ongoing personal contact, and the provision came in that the individual moves from out of state, they're not allowed to ever establish the ongoing. I know there's the words in there, has attempted to. And that's too great to get to it. I just think there's still a hole there that is a possibility. And when I tried to plug the hole in my own mind, I came down on the side and said, maybe we ought to just have more confidence in the court. But I think Representative Dix presented the other argument and done it very well. That's really the two arguments that we're dealing with here.
Representative Hanlon.
Just to point out that I'm opposed to the motion that Representative Bellamy has placed. In subcommittee, we did hear from the interested parties about the fact that if somebody had been cut off from their grandchildren, they would have never had a chance to establish this minimum standard in court. So we added the words, or has attempted to establish ongoing personal contact. The purpose of lines 27 and 28 is to establish at least some minimum standard before one could get into court. And in order to remove that, I think we may be opening up the courts a lot further than we intend. And this is an area where we ought to go slowly in amending the law rather than jump into it feet first. And for that reason, I oppose the motion placed by Representative Bellamy.
Okay, is there further discussion on Representative Bellamy's motion? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did have some discussion about this additional language, dealing with the attempt. And I think you can perhaps theorize that if there was merely the attempt, then it has probably been denied. And so maybe the features of lines 27 and 28, specifically the attempt language, is almost rendered meaningless by the inclusion of sub B. My feeling was that it really is wide open to anybody who's put a dime in a payphone or whatever the current charge is and made an attempt to establish a contact. And that's the direction we're headed. In fact, I'm in favor of the wide open variety, but I'm not sure that it's all that important.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay, this is on Representative Bellamy's motion to delete lines 27 and 28. If there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
No.
Dix?
No.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion fails. Representative Hanlon, I believe we have your motion before us, or have you had a chance to make a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd move 3197 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Okay, Representative Hanlon moves House Bill 3197 as amended to the floor for the due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Any volunteers?
I was going to surprise you and tell you that I would serve notice of a possible minority report.
Chairman, I'd also like to serve notice of a possible minority report.
Okay. Good. The chair will serve notice of possible reconsideration so we can talk about it at our next full committee hearing.
But I'll free it off.
Okay, 2554.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this deals with pretrial release. In Oregon, there are three forms of pretrial release: personal recognizance, conditional release, and security release. And there are certain criteria used that form what form the pretrial release is to use. And right now, the defendant's violent criminal conduct is not a pretrial release consideration. And this bill would make the criminal conduct part of the pretrial release criteria. In this case, it would mean any criminal conduct constituting homicide, kidnapping, assault, robbery, arson, burglary in the first degree, or any forcible sexual offense. Also, House Bill 2554 requires the Criminal Justice Council to develop pretrial release standards and to report those back to the 1989 Legislative Assembly as proposed legislation, unless the Judicial Department has adopted similar standards. That's the intent. There was some amendments. There was some amendments made to remove a potential constitutional conflict by making clear the judiciary would be responsible for pretrial release decisions, which there was some question brought up about whether that would be done with the various sheriff's departments or with the judiciary, and that was clarified. There is a fiscal impact statement on that, which I think is current. I worry about these, Mr. Chairman, because about the fiscal impact statements, whether they're current. The one I have is dated April the 2nd. Is that the latest you have, counsel?
Is that the blue copy?
No, that's on the next bill. This one is. This one's dated April 2nd, $67,560.
That's the last one.
Is that correct? Okay, then that is current, and that's in this current fiscal year. And I would assume that would require subsequent ways and means, therefore. I don't think that's allowed for in the budget. And has this got a subsequent or right of ways and means?
It does not have a prior referral. We need a subsequent referral.
Okay, so I would move, Chairman, House Bill 2554 as amended to the ways and means.
Okay, with the due pass?
With the due pass, yes.
Okay, Representative Burton moves House Bill 2554 as amended, due pass, with a subsequent referral to ways and means. Further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2554.
Miller?
Aye.
Melody?
Aye.
Sun?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
Springer?
Springer?
Vote's aye.
Hold on, hold on, it's right outside.
Okay, well.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Representative Phillips recorded as an aye vote. Motion's adopted. Okay, 2557.
Thank you, I appreciate that vote, Representative Bellamy, on behalf of Representative Phillips. This.
Don't look alike.
You're expecting me to vote for the next one?
He was. House Bill 2557. In current law, a probation officer or police officer with arrest powers can detain on probation for an indefinite amount of time. An individual has violated a condition of probation. In this measure, the probation officer arrested probation violator has to report as soon as practicable, but within one judicial day, the arrest to the court that imposed the probation. Probation violator would have to be arraigned on or before the first judicial day following detention. The measure is intended to reduce the amount of time probation violators would spend in county jails, and thus hopefully we could put other more deserving individuals in jail. There were no amendments to this particular bill that were discussed in committee. There's a fiscal, oops, I'm sorry, there was an amendment?
Two amendments.
Two amendments. Taylor, what are the amendments?
I believe, Mr. Chairman, it would be 2557-1, that's LC 313, and 2557-3, that's LC 313 also. The third one, a lot of the two, what it does in the bottom of line 32 adds, except for good cause shown. And the other one deletes line 20 and 21 and inserts, except for good cause shown, or the request of the probation, the probationer shall be brought before magistrate during the first 36 hours of custody, excluding holidays, Saturdays or Sundays, the magistrate in the period.
Okay, were those both adopted in subcommittee, counsel?
Excuse me?
Sub 1 and 3 were adopted in subcommittee?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2557 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Burton has moved House Bill 2557 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Winner?
Votes aye. Representative Bunn is excused. Representative Burton, would you like the honors on that?
Certainly.
Okay. 2555.
House Bill 2555, and you have the dash one amendments. This is, this bill would require the Oregon Supreme Court to establish a uniform statewide security release schedule applicable to all crimes except murder and treason. The schedule would set forth the maximum amount that may be required as security for individual crimes or categories of crimes, and the intent here was to, that uniformity would promote equity. There were some amendments, which were the dash one amendments. And those amendments would require the court to develop uniform statewide security release schedules rather than the Criminal Justice Council to do that. In addition, the bill would not make the Criminal Justice Council a permanent body that was in the original bill, so there was some considerable amount of amendments to that. And initially, because of that, we received a fiscal impact statement from Legislative Fiscal that said that the, that in light of the bill, there would not, there'd be no impact in state and local expenditures. But with the amendments, the judiciary has indicated there would be an $18,000 to $20,000 fiscal impact to carry this out. I'm not certain what the threshold amount is for referring something to Ways and Means, but, so I'm not certain how the motion should go on this matter, if we want to go to Ways and Means of this or not.
Okay, we've got a, on the amendments dash one, we've got a blank sum appropriated. I think that in itself probably means.
Yeah, so that'll take to Ways and Means.
It should go to Ways and Means, be my guess.
Chairman, I'd move then House Bill 2555 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Burton has moved House Bill 2555 as amended, due pass, subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee. Is there further discussion?
Just, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Question of Representative Burton.
Go ahead.
Representative Burton, that says in the function of this, that 2555 would require the Oregon Supreme Court establish a uniform statewide security release schedule for all crimes except murder and treason. Am I looking at the correct staff measure analysis when I, under the function and purpose of the measure?
I'm not sure you're looking at, Representative Hanlon. What are you, are you looking at a staff measure analysis?
Yeah. Dated, it says April 2nd work session.
The.
Are you looking what I'm looking at when I look at the staff measure analysis?
I don't know. The one I've got, the last date on it is May 11th.
Okay. It says would require the Oregon Supreme Court establish a statewide security release schedule. My only question, are you following me now?
Yes, yes.
From the function. My only question is, why do we have to put a law to do this? Why couldn't the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, go ahead and do this? Or carry out this function and establish this administratively? Is there a necessity for us being involved?
Question. Probably because they need funds to do it, and we have to appropriate that, I suppose, for one thing. Taylor, did you recall what the, whether anyone came in and suggested the Supreme Court simply do that in their own volition?
I don't believe anyone did.
Well, get somebody from OJOP here. Mr. Snyder? Sounds like they're playing your song. Now we'll see if you can sing.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing the Oregon Jail Overcrowding Project. I think that the Supreme Court does have the authority to undertake a task like this, but right now, I think there are a couple of things that are standing in the way of that, one of which is money, and the second of which is perhaps the inclination. We're looking for this, Representative Hanlon, as a measure by which to create uniformity statewide so that people who are similarly situated get treated similarly.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
The inclination of the Chief Administrative Officer of this state, he doesn't want uniformity in the state on these issues, is that what you're telling me?
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanlon, I talked with the Chief Justice, and he expressed a willingness to do this if the bill passed. That's the only contact that we had with him on the subject. It's just a matter of saying, we could probably say the same thing about uniform bail schedules for traffic offenses. What do we need a law for that? The purpose is to give some legislative direction to the Supreme Court so that the court understands that it's a legislative priority.
Okay. The motion is on the bill as amended, two ways and means do pass. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Billamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Since it's going to Ways and Means, won't have any floor carrier other than the committee chair or Representative Burton if we need to do that. Okay, 3191.
I think this came out of my set also. This is the expungement. Under present law, it's possible for a person to have certain crimes expunged from the record. If that person has one conviction in 3 years, in the elapsed time since a conviction without that person running afoul of the criminal justice system again, then he can apply to the court, he or she can apply to the court where the conviction was entered to remove the conviction. Among the types of crimes subject to provision are all Class C felonies, all misdemeanors, and all crimes punishable at the court's discretion as either felonies or misdemeanors. However, with one exception, violations may not be removed. So violations can't be removed. Thus, a person convicted of a less serious offense, a violation, is not able to remove that conviction, but a person convicted of a more serious offense or misdemeanor can. This bill allows all violations to be expunged from the record. And for an infraction, counsel need not be appointed. There were no amendments to this particular measure, if I remember, so I would move House Bill 3191 to the floor of the do-pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Burton moves House Bill 3191 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on 3191.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Burton, carry the bill. Okay, 3030.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
On 3191, I would suggest that Representative Burton have staff available. I foresee that could create some questions when we talk about expanded records.
Staff is so instructive.
Some of our more liberal members of our body.
You can handle it.
I might note, I think it was noted in the subcommittee that the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association had some serious concerns about that, that they thought that this ought to remain a part of the record. That alone is enough to make you want to vote for it.
Seriously, if staff has, if they can review the records, it would help in our caucus if there was a couple of examples that could be given for the staff measure analysis.
Okay, we'll ask our council to do that.
3030, Representative Hanlon.
Representative Dix.
3030, most of you have a hand in gross version of 3030, very large document that's in front of you, and perhaps rather than my going through the different sections of the bill, it would be easier if members of the committee had questions, I would be happy to address those, or if the chair wishes me to, I can go through the bill page by page.
Why don't you go ahead and place the motion, Representative Dix, and then we'll see what kind of discussion is called for.
I would move House Bill 3030 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, and that includes amendments considered in...
With, as amended in subcommittee.
Okay, Representative Dix moves House Bill 3030 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Just to point out that what we're talking about in the area, in